Good evening. So nice to be back. We had a very interesting and wonderful time. The best part of it, I think, is how completely connected we are with what seems like over there. There really isn't any over there. It's right here. When somebody walks into the Zendo and sits down and begins to sit, it doesn't matter where it is. The practice is the practice. And as there are two places, the one in Austria is a kind of log cabin high up in the mountains, and it's dark inside. There's not very much light, just very narrow little windows on two sides, and so it's lit by candlelight. There's sconces on all the supporting posts, and a few candles for zazen, and then if it's time for chanting, then somebody walks around and lights the rest of them. It's part of the ritual, is the lighting of the candles. So you have this very dim light in this very dark building. Someone said it's like a womb. You feel like you get born every time you walk outside. And it was all young people, almost all young people, who come for the New Year sit, because you have to walk up through the snow for about half a mile. So there are all these really gung-ho people with big rucksacks on their back, with sleeping bags and all their gear. And it's fun, you know. You can go out and take a walk every morning in the snow, and help build up this huge bonfire. So at midnight on New Year's Eve, this big fire is lit, which you can see from, the people in the valley can see it miles around, and all the big hotels take their customers out and point out the bonfire at Purag way up there on the mountain. And then the one in Switzerland is the opposite. It's huge. It's like, what, 8 of these rooms? 10 of these rooms? It's like walking an acre to walk from the foyer to the altar. It's huge, with zafus on either side, but very spare. Beautiful, beautiful new shining wood. Bamboo, I bet, on the floor, and all pale wood, lots and lots of light. Beautiful dormitories, elegant everything. The bathroom, the appointments in the bathroom are just out of this world. and then attached to it is this hotel. This 5-star hotel, which is where the teaching is done, and there's a library and study, and a big dining room. And one of the managers there was a cook at Tassajara for a couple of years. So the food is fabulous. It's all fresh bread. Melt in your mouth, everything. Amazing. And all very businesslike also, very well run, extremely well run. And everywhere you look, it's beautiful. It's Swiss mountains that are just like kids draw, real pointy mountains with snow on top. It's just like they're supposed to look. And if you look out the dining room windows, which are huge, all you see is this expanse of these pointy mountains. And then if you look far, far down, there's a lake, Lake Lucerne. So it's you're kind of way up there. But when you go in the Zendo, even though one is small and dark and the other one is huge and blonde and light, the Zazen is the same. And the questions are the same. The practices are the same. The incense is the same. It's what we call Soto Zen. But I'm not sure what it is. It's a mystery. Vanya invited me to come down and sit with his Tuesday night group. And so last Tuesday night, I was thinking of you all. Of course, you all were just getting out of bed, but we had a Tuesday night. Mostly women. There were, I think, two men. And seven or eight middle-aged women. Very Swiss. There even was a Heidi. Yeah. And they were very interested. They asked all kinds of questions about us, how we practice. I said, it's just the same as here. Except, you know, they're meeting in Vanya's house, because Vanya built or created in his basement this beautiful little tiny Zendo. But extremely beautifully appointed, because he can afford to do that. So he has a very beautiful altar, which I think is a very old piece. And then on it is a Buddha about this tall, a seated Buddha from Gandharva, if you know those Greek-influenced statues that instead of looking Indian, the faces look very, very chiseled and handsome, what we would call handsome, because they look more like what we're used to.
They are Buddhas.
They are Buddhas, yes. Alexander the Great came through, and people got affected by Greek art and began to practice it. And so there was a whole school of it for a while. It's now priceless, of course. So it was kind of mind-blowing to see that.
How far away was the big hall you said that was attached to the hotel and where you practiced on Tuesday?
You have to go all the way down the mountain in the Cogwheel Railway. Oh. You have to hike to the Cogwheel Railway, because that's about a quarter of a mile, maybe half a mile up the mountain.
This is a big project.
It's a project. It's a project.
That's why it's... This Tuesday group is separate from meeting.
Oh, yes, they couldn't. No. You have to hike up on this little rocky trail and then make sure to be there when the Cogwheel Railway, and it goes straight down. It's just right slap on the mountain. And then Vanya had a car, and then it's a half an hour drive to Lucerne, where his house is. Beautiful house, one of those big old stone houses that maybe three stories tall, and an old neighborhood of big old stone houses with, you know, beautiful gardens, and then this little Zendo in the basement. Dogen Zenji said, why travel to far places to sit? when the sitting always happens right here. Wherever we are is here. So, of course he's right, but oh, it's fun. It's really fun. Fun to go and see other people. There was a new priest from Boulder who was also there, and to get to know him, who was part of our family. His teacher is Coben's brother's student, so they're kind of kin, but not direct kin. There was a goldsmith and a therapist, and a lot of very interesting people. Very interesting people. And there was Donna Lynn. Incredible. Such a big help. And you must have many, many stories to tell. Because I couldn't even quite tell what was happening to you, because I was so busy happening myself.
Well, it's nice to chant in
English. Yes, it is nice to chant in English.
The chant sheets, this is a chant sheet that you had that book, Caribbean. This is the program. Of course, many of you know German, but that's, you probably do. And then this is the program for those who are.
A lot of people.
What language did you teach?
German.
German.
And
maybe Japanese.
And Japanese. But Vanya wanted to bring more German into it. So they were doing the Metta Sutra at the end in German. I could almost tell.
Did you read it?
Yes. Just tried to read it in German. It was really frustrating not knowing the language, because there were wonderful people there who didn't know hardly any English. And it's kind of embarrassing not to be, when you're in somebody's country and you can't communicate. There is a nun, a Franciscan nun who lives at Felsentor. Beautiful little woman who wears her full habit, the black veil with the white hair covering and neck covering and then the thing and then the thing and then the thing. I mean, it's the whole bit. And they have an animal rescue thing up there, project up there as well. So she takes care of the animals. There are five little pigs that she cares for, and three crippled sheep that she massages every day to bring them back to full strength, and some chickens and cows in the summertime. So she spends a lot of time. She has a little hut down there that Vanya built for her. Very small place. She says it's just like St. Francis had. She just lives in the very same kind of poverty that St. Francis had. And she said, or ryokan. You know, the Japanese poet who lived such a sparse and romantic life. She had a couple of heart attacks, which is how she ended up at Felsentor. But Coben knew her before then and ordained her and transmitted her. So she wears a brown raksu and sits with us, sits with everyone.
Over her habit?
Yeah. Over her habit.
Yeah. So she actually had it one point to do.
Yeah. Yeah, she has an okay set.
And over her head.
Sounds like a good swing.
We all wanted a picture and we didn't do it. She practices, she's from Innsbruck, and she gets permission to stay at Felsentor by the year. When she's in Innsbruck, she works with heroin addicts and drives a motorcycle, a big black motorcycle, she said. It says Rebel on the side. And someone gave her a leather jacket when she first got it, a used leather jacket from America, and she didn't know for quite a while when she was driving around with this leather jacket what the words in the back meant. It said bullshit. And she was obviously a very witty woman. As we sat around the table talking, she would make people laugh. She would say some quiet little thing and everybody would burst out laughing, and then Donna Lynn and I would we don't know what she's talking about. Sometimes Vanya would translate, but it gets tiresome to translate, so it didn't happen all the time. Looking at all the people who are coming through.
No, just the layout of this thing and the schedule they've got is serious stuff.
Yeah, it's very serious.
They give you full bios. They tell you when it's, how much it is, where, how much it costs. Blah 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 blah. It's like a whole.
The two guys who are running it are extremely thorough, very professional.
Their website is Tre and Proceed.
Yes, they have a beautiful website. You can. So Donna Lynn has the treat. We've brought you a present.
Was Ed Brown in residence there, or was he only visiting?
Who?
Ed Brown.
Ed Brown?
The cook from Sasahara.
No, it wasn't Ed Brown. It was somebody who had been a Tenzo after Ed Brown. You know, there are a number. Ed Brown was just there for a few years, and then other people took it over. It's a training position. So Richard, this fellow's name is Richard, was the Tenzo for a couple of years. Oh, he does retreats there. Yeah, he teaches there. Reb teaches there. A lot of American teachers go through there. Yeah.
The teacher's voice first.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I get one too. These are Mozart Kugeln, which apparently was Mozart's favorite food. And there's a little picture of him on it. Yeah, it's a specialty of Salzburg. Poor egg is close to Salzburg. You can eat it now. If you eat it now, I can eat it now.
I have a German-American friend who grew up with these, and they call them Mozart's balls.
What are they calling?
They call them Mozart's balls.
Mozart. Oh.
I have to tell her what I got today.
Yes, do.
Uh-huh.
So what is that? there, between sashims, I noticed there was like four days in between.
Three days.
Recovered.
We recovered at Pureg. We stayed an extra day and just recovered, actually, really. Because we stayed up. The bonfire was at midnight. And then everybody stayed up and stood around the bonfire until about 2 in the morning. And Peppy, the woman who runs the place, and I stayed up till 3. Just giggling. So we were not very enthusiastic in the morning for a while. So we'd planned this and then left.
She woke us up every
4:30.
Started sitting at
5. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 5 every morning. And then we sat till 9:30.
It took a day to travel. And then we took a train for a day to get to Switzerland through the mountains. And then we were there a day, and we were there a day early.
Three trains and a bus.
So when you taught, did they just translate everything?
No, I just spoke very, very, very slowly. And everybody had a little English. And the first night in Pureg, I talked fast. And then I realized nobody had a clue what I was talking about. So I apologized the next day. And I also apologized a bit for America. And all of a sudden, the whole atmosphere changed, and I had more of a connection with everybody. And it worked, and they could stop me if they didn't get it and get clarification.
Why did you apologize for
this? Oh, just for stirring up the world and the way it stirred up. I didn't get specific. It just feels like we've created this huge situation that is upsetting for everyone. They're very angry with America. I mean, everybody, most people in Europe are extremely angry with us. So it's a little strange to go there, you know, and be an American. And we're a little different. We're kind of slow and sloppy compared to them. They're very, very organized, you know. They're very well trained, much better trained than we are. But it worked. It worked fine. But it made me, just because of the nun especially, Schwester Teresa, I really wanted to talk to her. And so I'm going to try to learn some German so I can do that. It'd be interesting to do that anyway.
Again, when I ask about Kogan and what you think that Kogan would, you know, say to students, or what do they remember as from Kogan, it's so interesting to meet these people on the other side of the world. And it's to the point where I can recognize his calligraphy on people's rocketries. He's got such a distinct, powerful stroke. So it's really interesting to meet these people that he's, you know, ordained, that were his students over there, and to hear them talk about him. Peter Chick, what was Peter's last name?
I never did get it straight.
He was Shuso for the practice period that we were there. And I guess Vanya did lots of translating. A little tiny dopey sign. This is how people got to know Kogan. Peter told me that he remembers, Kogan would say straight as a stick it is. This Vasari was sewing my black rock suit over there, and to look around and to see another woman was sewing and to look at everybody else's rock suits, it was like they're all the same, and they're all pretty much the same. And I went around with my ruler one day and they're all within a centimeter. It was amazing. Here we are, another side of the world, after hundreds and hundreds of years of having this being handed down, the pattern being handed down. It's just very, very, very interesting. And it was pretty humbling. What else is new, wherever I am? It seems like I don't ever know what's going on. It was good to have to watch, and even though it's all the same, it's all different. You bow to the cushion first, you don't. Who tends the altar? Who's supposed to light the candle on the sconce so you can read? Why are they doing three bills? They had drums there. Oh my gosh. The first day I heard the drums, I'm like, oh my gosh. So even it is all the same because you sit. It's also kind of
That's the form.
Yeah.
And every form is slightly different, and then you have to figure out, what that one is and try to conform to the form that where you are. So in their practice, they walk around in Kinhin and go directly to their cushion and just stand there. They don't bow to the cushion and turn around and bow to everything else. They just come straight around and then stand there until everybody's, and then they bow together. So, to a bell, yes. So, Donna Lynn and I would come around to the cushion, and we would bow to the cushion, and then everybody was standing there waiting for us, and then we would, yes. So, you have to be flexible and kind of adjust and figure out what the rules are. And it hits all those buttons, the shame button and the effort to be perfect button and the fear button and all those things. So it's part of the practice, really, to kind of rub you up against it and see what you do with it. And see how unaffected you can be by how you appear in the world. It's very good practice.
Greg, they don't have the state religion is it Catholicism or is it?
Yes.
And so there's no Buddha on the altar. It's the four elements. So there's a beautiful rock on the altar, and then the flowers for the earth, and the beautiful urn, the water, and of course the the corner in front of the room is Christ, which as you make an offering every morning before she comes into the room.
Yeah, there's a Buddha out there too in the foyer. There's in one corner is a crucifix, and in the other corner is a Buddha, a little Buddha. And so every morning, my first offering was to the crucifix, to the Jesus, and then I'd go over and do the Buddha, and then I'd go inside, and offer incense to everything, all of it.
A relic of one. I forget now who it is.
Oh, some saint, isn't it?
How Vanya's touches, because like in Adobe song you need to see this antique Tibetan
Tonka?
Thank you. And it's just gorgeous with all these Buddhas on it, and then it's an antique Chinese Buddha on the bells and floor. Mm-hmm. You just see these wonderful things kind of sitting there. Mm.
Well, you can get all. You can gussy up this practice a lot if you want to. There are lots of things to make it more beautiful and more interesting, but it doesn't make it more real or it's so nice to be back here. No statues. No, nothing. Much colder. Much colder here than there.
You mean indoors or
out? Out. The snow is gone in Switzerland at the altitude we were, which was 6,000 feet. They're not sure it's coming back. They're very worried. Extremely warm. Extremely warm.
Yeah. Normally it's like 4 feet.
Yeah, normally it's 4 feet and there's none. And the buds are beginning to swell. It feels like spring there. It's beautiful. The birds are all out and twittering.
We sat outside and had lunch with them.
Yeah.
Climate change.
It is. It is. Well, it's after 8 already.